heavy. And I know here this morning that there's someone here that you're bearing a very, very heavy burden. Probably all of us, if we would go ahead and admit it, if you would stand up behind this pulpit, you would say, yes, I'm bearing a burden of some sort. Some may be lighter than others. Some it may be just almost at a point like Jesus here that I feel like it's going to take my life. Jesus approaches God his Father with this burden, very heavy burden, mind you, here in this place called Gethsemane, which literally means olive press. Olives were squeezed, if you will, under great pressure so that they might yield up their oil. Now you think about that just for a moment. Gethsemane, meaning olive press, and olives were squeezed under great pressure. Okay, let me just stop and say this. Sometimes pressure is good. Okay, we don't always like it, but the truth of the matter is, as we go through this morning, you're going to see that this pressure really is good and how we can go ahead and withstand the pressure. But that pressure, they're squeezed under great pressure so that they might yield up their oil. Here, Jesus releases the oil of sweet surrender as he yields to the Father's pressure in his soul. God the Father said, okay, Jesus, of course, he was born in a very unique way there in Bethlehem and a stable and all that and so forth. And he grew up 33 and a half years later. And the purpose and the plan, by the way, back in Luke chapter 2 in the temple, he was there going about his father's business. He was answering questions and so forth from the leaders of the temple and so forth. And when he responded to Mary and Joseph, if you remember that account there, he responded to Mary and Joseph. They'd already left after celebrating the feast there in Jerusalem, if you will. They'd already left thinking he'd gone with someone else and so forth. And where is Jesus? So they go back to Jerusalem. There he is in the temple. Luke chapter 2, you can read it later on. There he is in the temple asking and listening to the men of God and the teachers there in the temple and so forth. And Mary says, why have you done this, Jesus? And he says, I must be about my father's business. Now, not talking about Joseph, his earthly dad, if you will. Talk about the heavenly father. I believe at that time, as a 12-year-old lad, it was revealed to him by God Almighty, okay, Jesus, this is what's happening. This is why you were born in such a unique way. This is why you're going to have such a unique life, if you will. And I believe at the age of 12, personally, that was when it was revealed by his heavenly father, Jesus, is what you're going to do. 33 years later, you're going to have a ministry, you're going to be ministering, you're going to be healing all kinds of diseases, you're going to be training 12 men so that when you pass on, if you will, when you go to the cross, they're going to go ahead and they're going to keep on preaching and teaching the gospel and so forth. And Jesus, you're going to go ahead and be tried wrongly, you're going to go ahead and be under a lot of pressure here, you're going to go to that cross, and 3 days later, praise the Lord, he did rise again. But he had, but right here in Gethsemane, he was under some pressure. Just a little while, he said, God, if this cup would pass from me, but if not, it's not what I will, it's what you will, Lord. And you see that he's releasing that oil of sweet surrender here as he yields to the Father's pressure. Let me just say this, you know what, you might be under some pressure this morning, but you know what, the best thing to do to try to relieve that pressure is you release it to the Father. You give it to the Father. Don't you run to the world. So often when we get under the pressure, even Christians, when we get under pressure, we feel like God's not there. He doesn't listen. He doesn't understand. Let me tell you something. God knows what you are. God understands the pressure you're going under. God understands the trials that you're under. He'll understand the trial that you've been. He understands, of course, the trial you've been through. And maybe you're not going through a trial right now, but he'll understand the trials that you will go through. Hey, let me tell you something. God is alive this morning. He knows right where you are this morning. And instead of running to the world, instead of running to drugs, instead of running to the so-called world and all that, if you will, hey, you ought to run to God and surrender your heart to God and allow him to do something great in your life. We see a great example of how we ought to relieve this pressure through Jesus Christ here. Let me say this. You may have pressure in your soul right now. You know what it is. It may be that God is dealing with some sin in your life. It might be that you know you're out of whack with God, or you're out of line with God, and God might have said, hey, you know what? You are my child. The Bible says in Hebrews that he chastens whom he loves. It proves that we're his children. I thank God that when I get out of whack with God, that God just doesn't go ahead and just brush me under the carpet. No, he does go ahead and have his way of chastening. He'll get the spiritual rod out, if you will, and he'll spank me. I thank God because it proves that he loves me, the Bible says, and it proves that I'm his child. Hey, don't you ever push away the scourging or the chastisement of God. Hey, you know what? If you're living out of whack, if you're living in sin this morning, hey, God's not going to let you get away with it. And by the way, you ought to thank God for that. You ought to thank him that he doesn't just let you go ahead and live your own lifestyle and do what you want to do. Because when he does go ahead and chasten, when he does go ahead and give you a spiritual spanking, if you will, you know what? It shows that I do this because I love you. I'm doing this because I love you. But you may be dealing with some things. It may be some sin in your life that he wants you to surrender this morning. It may be some turmoil that just kind of popped up all of a sudden in your life. And he's asking you to go ahead and yield it to him. Yield that turmoil, that trouble to him. Doesn't matter what it is you're going through. You need to yield to the Father this morning. Maybe you need to find that Gethsemane, that place of the olive press, if you will. And find that Gethsemane, if you will, and just give it to Jesus Christ this morning. It may be that you're out of the will of God this morning, and God's put some heaviness on you for you to surrender to him. I remember when I was called to preach, that was not my first idea. That was not my plan, I'll be honest with you. My plan, if you will, I grew up on a dairy farm, and I loved the farm so very much. I did. I enjoyed the farm. And my plan, if you will, my plan was to take over my dad's farm. I wanted to. You know, I longed to do that. That was my life. That's what I thought. I knew. I didn't know, think I knew anything else, if you will. That's what I just grew up doing. And you know, God called me at 16 years old to go ahead and be a preacher. You know, and I thought, God, I think you got the wrong number. No, God revealed in this very unique way, no, I've got the right number. God, you sure about this? Yeah, I'm sure about this. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? I did go ahead and yield somewhat, but I didn't yield all the way. I still had that part of me that was maybe looking for money and looking for the farm, if you will, and looking for different things and so forth. And it took me a long time to get through Bible college, but I thank God that he never gave up on me through them times that I didn't fully yield and that I was kind of going my own way and different things. I didn't fall into deep sin, but I thank God that he kept his number. I thank God he kept on ringing that bell. I thank God that I came to a point in my life. I remember as a 24-year-old man, you know, I was sitting in a youth conference, a great youth conference. I was a chaperone, just a chaperone, if you will, for a youth trip to Indiana, and it seemed like all the preaching that week was right directed to me. And I said, God, you know, come on now, this is a youth conference. You know, I stressed the word youth, God, just in case. It's a team conference. I mean, you know, you need to be working on the hearts of the teens. Well, let me tell you something. All that week and hearing the preaching from Brother Hiles and Brother Scott and others all that week, let me tell you something, God was still ringing that bell. You know, by the way, at 16, I was called to preach. Yeah, I'd gone to college, Bible college. I got out of Bible college. I mean, if you just knew, and I don't have time to go through the whole story, but the truth of the matter is I never came to full surrender until I was a 24-year-old man. You know, and God had to go ahead and put some pressure on me. God had to go ahead and put some weight, if you will, on me. And I thank God that I went ahead and came to that point, literally on my knees, and I surrendered to him. It may be this morning that your soul is heavy. Because you do not know Christ, he has been working on you for some time to get saved. Maybe you're heavy this morning. Maybe you're here this morning. You don't know Jesus as Savior. You don't know for sure if you was to die today, yet you'd go to heaven. The truth is, my friend, you can know today that you have a home in heaven. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 John 5:13 says, you can know that you have a home in heaven. You don't need to go through a communion table. You don't need to go through a baptism. You don't need to go through any denomination. All you have to do is go through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said that. He's the way, not a way. John 14 said, think about that now. The is very specific. Amen? You know, had he said, I'm a way, I would say, well, you can go ahead and go to church and you'll go to heaven. You can go ahead and take the communion and the sacraments, you go to heaven. You can go ahead and go to some confession booth, you'll go to heaven. You can go ahead and get baptized, sprinkled, poured, whatever, you can go to heaven. No, Jesus said, John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, me, you, anybody that's breathing in this world today, no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Boy, your soul may be heavy this morning. Maybe you're here scratching your head and you're wondering, I don't know if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. Boy, and there's some heaviness there. Boy, when you don't know and you wake up and you're just not sure if heaven will be my eternal home, boy, I want you to know the Word of God says it can be. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you this morning. If you don't know Christ as Savior this morning, don't leave the church doors this morning without knowing Jesus as Savior. We'll have someone show you from the precious Word of God how you can be saved this morning. I encourage you to know, have a know-so Christianity, amen? You don't have to have a think-so. I think I've done this. No. Have a know-so. You can know it through Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for you. In these verses, we see Jesus praying a rather difficult prayer. Jesus prays a prayer of total submission and surrender to the will of his Father. And just as this prayer was difficult for Jesus to pray, it's hard for us to pray. In any given situation, we know what we want God to do. We tell him to do it, and we expect him to do it. And I realize this may be a shock to you to find out prayer, by the way, does not work that way. You know, this is how we pray. God, I want this. I'm going to have this red mic here, Brother Ron. That's how we have a tendency to pray as Christians. God, I want this. I want this car. I want this home. I want this. I want this. I want that. The truth of the matter is, you know what? It may be shocking, but that's not how prayer works. Genuine biblical prayer is never about us getting our way with God. It's always, get this statement now, it's always about God getting his way with us. Let me make that statement one more time. Because sometimes, you know what? We can be, and I say we, okay? We can be very selfish in our praying. God, I want this. We get very prideful, don't we? But the truth of the matter is, genuine biblical prayer is never about us getting our way with God. It's always about God getting his way with us. Always. It's never about what I want. Now, the truth of the matter is, let me just say this. If I go ahead and surrender and submit to the will of God, let me tell you something. There's a scripture in Psalms, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. I just happen to believe today, because I know I'm in the center of God's will. I've been saved. I've been baptized by immersion, as the Bible teaches. I've been I'm growing in the Lord. I go to church. I do all this, all the things that are necessary to grow and so forth. And I know I'm right today, my career, as far as my career, I'm where God wants me to be. I'm supposed to be a pastor. And that's what I'm doing. And today I have no bones about it. I know I'm right where God wants me to be. And because of that, because of me submitting my will to God, you know, it's, remember I said I liked the farm? I liked the farm life. I so desired that. Because I desired that and some other things in my life, it took me a little bit of a while, if you will, to totally surrender my will to God's will. And let me tell you something, the day that I fully surrendered to God and the day that I hit the ground to run and said, okay, God, there's no turning back. I'm going to follow you every step of the way. I'm going to put my faith and my trust in you every step of the way. There's going to be some valleys, I know. There's going to be some mountaintops, I know. But the truth of the matter is, God, I'm just going to go ahead and follow you. You're going to be my leader. You're going to be my guide. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of my life. The Bible says, I'm going to follow you, Lord. I want to go ahead and trust you, God. And the truth of the matter is, the day that I went ahead and I fully said, okay, God, here's what I want to do. I want to do this, God. But here. When I went ahead and I allowed him to have the control. I'll tell you something. Scripture verse here. Delight thyself also in the Lord. That's me doing what he wants me to do. And he'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, I've seen this time and time again. You know what? My delighting myself and following God's will for my life. You know, he says, you'll get the desires of your heart. You know, I've seen it time and time again. There are things that I know that I've desired so forth. And you know what? Miraculously, God went ahead and just said, you know, Sean, let him call me Sean. But you know, Sean, you know, you're doing my will. You serve me the best you know how. You know, I'm going to give you a little bonus. I'm going to give you a little extra. I'm going to give you a little something. I'm going to do that. You know, he'll take care of you. You know, we often think that, well, if I go ahead and I submit totally to the will of God, I don't know if he quite understands all the needs I have. God knows every need you have. God knows what's in the ledger of your checkbook, amen? God knows what's in your little savings account, whether it be little or large. God knows about your health. God knows every single need you have. You know, this is a difficult prayer. It's hard, but genuine biblical prayer is never about us getting our way. It's always about God getting his way with us. That's what it's all about. I want us to notice some truths quickly this morning. In verse number 39 is our text, and we'll kind of be breaking that down along the way, but we find that this prayer that Jesus prayed involves supplication. Jesus was earnestly and humbly praying to his Father. In verse number 39, you see three words there, right down there, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Notice the word "oh." That word "oh" means deep anguish. It oftentimes is reserved for such a prayer as this. He was, it's burdened prayer. Now, Jesus went into Gethsemane, okay, the olive press, if you will, under a lot of pressure, if you will, and he was under some deep anguish. He was under burdened prayer. He says, "Oh, my Father." It's kind of like when we get burdened about something, when we get burdened about a sick child, you know, what do we do? "Oh, my Father." When we get burdened about maybe the economy and my job doesn't look very good, "Oh, my Father." When we get burdened about maybe a lost soul or a lost family member, "Oh, my Father, please convict hearts. Please, please save my mama. Please save my daddy." Hey, that's burdened prayer. It involves supplication. He says, "Oh, my Father." He asked if it be possible to let this cup pass from me. The cup refers to the sins of humanity that he was going to bear on the cross. When he went to that cross one time, by the way, he took all the sins of the world. He took all of my sins. He took all of my selfishness. He took all of my sins, and he took all of your sins. He took all the sins of the world. He bore it on that cross, and the separation, that cup also refers to the separation that would bring he and his Father. Think about this. Jesus had the throne. You know, but God's plan course was to bring him down as a God-man, if you will, to experience like passions as we. He got tired. He got weary, just like you and I do and so forth. And for them 33 years, he was separated, if you will, from his Father. And he was on that cross. He was going to bear all the sins of humanity. Isaiah 59:2, the Bible says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Matthew 27:46, the Bible says, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Boy, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus, he was bearing, he was under a burden prayer. He was under a heavy burden. "Oh, my Father, would you please let this cup, all the sins of humanity, plus I'm being separated from you, Daddy. God, I so long to want to be with you again, God, in your arms, if you will." He had a heavy burden there. In my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I believe at this time God was going to turn his back on that cross. When Jesus was on that cross, God was going to turn his back on his own Son. And you know the thought, because of what God did, my God, he cried out on that, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And on that cross, God turned his back on his own Son. And the thought of being separated from his Father for even a second broke his heart. And the thought of becoming sin for a filthy, repugnant world, taking the sins of all humanity, surely was a heavy burden. We find Jesus asking to have this cup pass from him because he could not stand being away from his Father for a single moment. Oh, for us to be burdened. And plus, he couldn't stand being separated from his Father. You know what? We ought to be burdened, Christian. We ought to be burdened if we're separated from God one little bit this morning. I'm not talking about your salvation. Once you get saved, the Bible says you're placed in his hand. You're in the palm of his hand. No one can go ahead and pluck you out of his hand. That's eternal security. But let me tell you something. You know, if we're not careful, we can still be separated from God. We can be out of his will. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? And it's no wonder why we wonder, how come I don't see the heavenly blessings? Why is this happening? Let me ask you a question. Where are you in position with God? Where are you this morning? Where are you aligned with God this morning? Oh, we ought to be burdened about being separated from the Father. You know, if you're saved, you can't be separated eternally. But let me tell you something. You can be separated due to your lack of talking to Him. You can be separated from Him, if you will, from your lack of walking with God and forgetting about that prayer closet. Hey, you can be separated from Him this morning if you're living in some sort of sin. You know, God may be putting a little pressure on you this morning so that you surrender and submit to Him so that you get on your face literally and say, "Oh, my Father, I can't stand being away from You. Oh, God, I'm backslidden. I've wandered far away from home. I've wandered far away from Your arms, God. Oh, God, please forgive me." Boy, that ought to burden you this morning. That lack of sweet fellowship ought to burden you this morning if you're in that position this morning. Again, if you're saved, you can't be totally separated eternally. But let me tell you something. You can lose the joy of being saved. You can lose the joy of your salvation. You know, let me tell you something. You walking in God's will, let me tell you something. That's a happy place to be. You get up every day and say, "God, help me to go ahead and go along the path You want me to walk today. Help me to talk to people You want me to talk today. Holy Spirit, I submit my life to You. I submit my day to You. God, You help me." Let me tell you something. That'll go ahead and give you a happy trail, if you will. But the truth of the matter is you cannot have the joy, the true joy that salvation can give you if you're living out here in the world. Christian, I ask you, listen to me. You may be saved this morning, but you know the Holy Spirit's working on your heart. Maybe you've wandered far away. You haven't been in the Word of God in a long time. You haven't darkened the door, if you will, of your prayer closet in a long time. You haven't gone ahead. And as a result, you might have picked up some bad habits. You might have picked up some things that you know you ought not. You know that it grieves God. And you wonder, how come I feel so alone? Listen to me, it might be that He's putting a little pressure on you this morning to get you on your knees and say, "Oh, my Father. Oh, my Father. Oh, God, forgive me." It might be, again, as I mentioned earlier, that you're not saved this morning. You're under some pressure. You just don't know for sure if you're to die today, you'd go to heaven. I plead with you, according to the Word of God, you can be saved this morning. When was the last time you were so burdened that you humbly bowed before the King of Kings? I'm talking to everybody. It doesn't matter where you are spiritually this morning. When was the last time that you humbly bowed before the King of Kings and said, "Oh, my Father. Oh, God. Oh, God, would You please pray for my family? Would You please do something in my family's life? Would You please give me wisdom in raising my daughters and my sons? And oh God, would You please give me wisdom there? Oh God, would You please place a hedge of protection about them? I don't want my daughters going out in the world. I don't want my son going out in the world. I don't want the church kids going out in the world." When was the last time you got on your knees in burdened prayer and said, "Oh, my Father"? We often think we can't bear it ourselves, but what happens is it builds up to a point that you become heavy and sorrowful. You know what? We got to be careful of macho Christianity. It happens, by the way, to all of us. "I'm okay. How you doing? I'm okay." And you know, deep in your heart, "Man, preacher, I need you to pray for me. Sunday school teacher, I need you to pray for me." But you know, we kind of go around, "How's everything going? I'm fine. Oh, you know," and don't get me wrong. I am for having a good spirit, even when you're down. Don't misunderstand me. You know, sometimes it can get really discouraged. "How you doing? Well, everything. Well, let me tell you. You know, this happened. This, you know." I don't misunderstand me. You know, I want you to bear your burdens. Yeah, but I do get excited that people can have joy through the trial. But let me just say this. But let me just go ahead and try to decipher this a little bit more clear. Be careful of what I call macho Christianity. "Well, you know, I'm doing fine. How you doing? Great. You sure? Yeah. I'm doing really good." But the truth of the matter is, you're not. You've been bearing some heavy load of some, maybe an illness in the family. Maybe an illness with you. Maybe financial. And how you doing? Great. You know, you sure? Yeah. Yeah, preacher, I'm doing good. Maybe some sin in your life. How you doing? Fine. But the truth of the matter is, you're not. And what's going to happen eventually is you will break. And that's good. But you know what? How much easier it would be for you daily to humbly bow before the King of Kings and say, "Oh, my Father. Oh, my Father." Giving it over to God. Give your marriage to God. Well, you don't understand. Give it to God this morning. Give that heartache to God. Give your job to God. You know what? It'd be good to be praying even when things are good. You know what? The job's going good and so forth. Thank God for that job. Still give that job to God each and every day. You know, we have a tendency to go ahead and run to Him when everything's broken loose. No. When things are good, say, "Man, God, thank you for my job. Boy, be with my boss. Help me to get to work safely. Be with the job situation. Be with the economy." Man, be praying. But maybe you're going through it. Give that marriage to God. Give that heartache to God. Give that job to God. Give your finances to God. Give your health to God. Give the raising of your family to God. Ask for wisdom. Cry out, "Oh God. Oh, my Father." Hey, God wants to help you. Talk with Him. He will listen. Prayer is man communicating with God. In prayer, we approach God in word of thought. Prayer is simply man having a conversation with God. Prayer is approaching, making our request known to Him. Boys, you know, so easy to go ahead when you get with a friend, or it's easy to converse, isn't it? You know, it's easy to go ahead and communicate with your friend. But how are you about your best friend? That's what prayer is, communicating. Boy, God longs to hear your voice. We often pray when we get in trouble. I'm not opposed to that. If that's what you do, that's fine. But you know what? As I mentioned a moment ago, boy, pray in the good day. Pray when things are going well. Pray every day. The Bible says, "Give us this day our daily bread." This day, each and every day. Crisis mode causes us to pray, doesn't it? Boy, it seems like all of a sudden, boy, when the health goes wrong, "Oh, God!" When the finances go wrong, "Oh, God!" And that's fine. You ought to go ahead and pray. But the truth of the matter is, boy, you know, it's all of a sudden when crisis comes into our life, we need God. God? Isn't that what America did on 9/11? That's what America did. America was just high and mighty, doing everything they want to do, happy and so forth. And now all of a sudden, 3,000 people, terrorism, very, very worst attack in American history, in U.S. history. And the truth of the matter is, all of a sudden, God bless America. All of a sudden, you could go anywhere down the street. You see, "Praise the Lord." You'd see signs in the windows, "God bless America." You'd see people, "Oh, we need to pray for our nation." You'd see the congressman out on the steps there in Washington, D.C. singing, "God bless America." Hey, I'm not opposed to all that. But the truth of the matter is, we have a tendency to go ahead and start praying when we're in a crisis. All of a sudden, we need God. Boy, you know what? We need Him in the high times, too. We need Him each and every day. Boy, communicate with Him each and every day. Prayer gives us an opportunity to talk to God about things that matter in our lives. God does care. He cares about what's going on in your life right now, teenager. He cares about what's going on in your home right now, mom and dad. He cares about what's going on at Faith Baptist Church. He cares about your needs. He cares about your desires. You can share your fears with Him. You can share your problems with Him. You can share your struggles and pain with Him. Anything else that troubles you, just go ahead and give it to God. You know what? There's no other friend that'll go ahead and take that kind of burden. He's a friend that sticks closer to the brother. Well, you know what? When I have troubles, I go and I vent it out to my friends. And they'll sit there. Generally. In some cases, yeah, I'll pray with you, I'll help you and so forth. But the truth of the matter is, listen to me. Listen to me. God hears everything. He knows everything. He knows your fear. You can run to Him each and every day. You can go to Him and say, "Oh, my Father," at any time. And He'll go ahead and answer. He'll go ahead and hear you. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Jeremiah 33:3. Hey, what I'm trying to say this morning, you know what? You might be under a burden this morning. Why not? Instead of running to the world, you know what? God is a friend that's open 24 hours a day. You know, There's not a whole lot of friends out there.
Go ahead and you pick up the phone and say, 1 o'clock in the morning, hey, I need help. Oh, generally. But you know what? You can go ahead and just, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, oh, God, I need you. God, are you there? He says, call unto me. I will answer thee. And I'll show you great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. In prayer, we can express our thankfulness to God. Boy, you ought to thank him. Thank him for creation, salvation, marriage, children, health, the Bible, church, the friends that you have. You ought to take the opportunity to give thanks to God for all things. Most of our time, our prayer life is about asking God for the things that we have need of. This is what prayer is for. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Supplication can mean burdens, needs, and problems. Requests as specific issues. Just go ahead and whatever it is, you just lay it out to God. Never hesitate to talk to the Lord and ask the Lord. Prayer is a privilege that God's people can enjoy. It's a privilege. We talked about that on Wednesday evening, about how prayer, it's a privilege for us. To know that I have a direct line to God 24 hours a day, you know what? That excites me. God promises to hear our prayers. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear in Psalm 10:17. God promises to answer our prayers. Isaiah 58:9a. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Boy, I love that. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, you can run to God. Hey, you know what? We find his prayer is not involves supplication, but also involves surrender. Jesus prayed in verse number 39, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will. I am sure the Jesus, the God-man, the one that was subject to like passions, the one that grew weary and tired, the human in Jesus would have liked to avoid the cross and all its pain and suffering and death he would have liked to avoid. Surely the eternal Son in Jesus would have preferred to avoid the cross with all its sin and separation from his Father. But Jesus here displays the true heart of biblical prayer. When he surrenders his will and places all at his feet, that word all, think about that, all at his feet of his Father, Jesus was willing to surrender what he wanted for what his Father knew best. You know what? I know, because the best I know how, this preacher has lived a surrendered life. Okay, God, here, whatever you want, whatever, here. And you know what? It's hard to go ahead and surrender all. But Jesus knew it was best for him to surrender everything at the Father who knows best. Right now, you don't understand. Right now, you're questioning, I don't understand why this? And you kind of hold back a little bit. I just don't. But Jesus, our example, he says, not as I will. Not as I will. Oh, my Father, if the cup could pass from me, I would really like that. All the sins of humanity is on my shoulders and being separated from me. Oh, God, this is such a heavy burden. I just want to die. And he goes ahead and says, but not as I will, God. I don't understand it, but I know you know best. You may be here this morning. I don't understand why I lost my loved one. I don't understand why I lost my job. I don't understand why this happened. God, I know you know best. I know you know best. Are you willing to surrender all to him this morning? Are you willing to say, not as I will, but as thou wilt? Are you willing to go ahead and give all to him? When I mentioned when I was called to preach, it was hard for me to go ahead and do that. Some here do not get as far as we should in the Christian life because we're not willing to live a surrendered life. Each and every day, we're not willing to surrender. God, here. That's why we don't get very far. That's why we may kind of spin our wheels, because we simply just don't go ahead and say, okay, God, I know you're in control. I don't understand. You know the way that I take. So, here you go. Here you go, God. I'm going to surrender my life to you.
Jesus said, not as I will, but as thou wilt. It could be that we do not see answered prayer simply because we've not surrendered all. Our desires must be surrendered. But I had to get to a point of my desire of farming, I had to surrender that to God. By the way, I got a little taste of farming, amen? You know, you walk into my office over here now, you're welcome to. Go in there, you got all the farm tractors and the pictures. I'm a John Deere guy, I'm a tractor. I still got the farm in me, amen? You know, and I still got all these little international tractors and the equipment and the baler and everything that I used to go ahead and play with as a kid. You know, call me sentimental, whatever, but they're all on these nice little shelves, and go ahead and feel free and look and so forth, but the desire of my heart at one time was farm. So, something's still funny, but anyways, I'll laugh too. Okay, all right, we got to have our system, amen? Okay, but the truth of it, that was my desire. But you know what? God says, Sean, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with farming. But you know what? He says, I got something best for you. I got something better. Boy, that's why I teach teenagers, boy, find the will of God. You young people, you ought to find the will of God. You never have a second chance at it. You never have it, you know, well, I want to do this, but you know what? You know in your heart of hearts, God's called you this, or maybe a mission field, or some young man called a preacher, whatever the case may be, you never have a second chance at it. Let me tell you something, boy, you know, find the will of God. I know as a young lady, it's easy. Well, I want to do this. Hey, no, you surrender your desire to God. God says, I'm going to go ahead and give you what's best. You want me to be a preacher's wife? It's what's best. You want me to go ahead and go to the mission field? It's what's best. You want me to go ahead and preach the gospel? It's what's best. You want me to go ahead and do this, or whatever? It's what's best. Hey, our desires must be surrendered. Our thoughts must be surrendered. You won't have trouble with thought life if you just surrender your mind to God. If presenting your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Your body, your thoughts. Every single day, presenting them a living sacrifice. Go ahead and give yourself to God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. You can go ahead and turn to that. Our thoughts must be surrendered. Our will must be surrendered to His ultimate will. What I want should never be the issue, but what God wants should always be the issue. Amen? What I want should not be the issue. But God, what you want is the issue. Wherever it is, whatever it is, whoever it is, God, do you want me to pray? Yes. It's settled. Do you want me to read my Bible? Yes. That's settled. You want me to tithe? Yes. That's settled. You want me to go to church? Yes. That's settled. You want me to serve yet? Yes. That's settled. You want me to live right?
Yeah.
That's settled. Hey, God, because you're the issue. I give you my desires. I give you my thoughts. I give you my will. I pray to God about my desires and opinions. But God is never obligated to answer my prayers based on my will. Never obligated to do that. Genuine prayer is always about aligning the will of man with the will of God in every situation. In true prayer, my will ought to die at His feet. Paul said, I die daily. I wonder what, you know what, had he not gone ahead and prayed that every single day, I wonder if he'd have been the kind of missionary. I wonder if God would have used him as he did. I don't know. He says, I die daily. He literally had to kill his flesh every single day. Perhaps it might have been because it would have got him in trouble. He had to go ahead and submit his will to God every day. Till we get to a point of honestly saying in our prayer, not my will, but thine be done, we're really not talking to God. Listen to this. We are sharing with him our opinions. We're sharing with him our wants. We're sharing what we think we need. But we're really not praying. Real prayer is about total surrender of our will to His. Jesus was a fine example of that right here. He surrendered His will to the one who knew best. Hey, prayer involves supplication. It involves surrender. And then I'm done with this point. It involves submission. Jesus said in verse number 42, I'll read, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. It involves submission. Jesus submitted himself to the Father's answer, even if it wasn't the answer he wanted. Sometimes, I tell you, God has gone ahead and answered things that I didn't want. You know, I said, you know, about the preaching thing, about going into full-time service. You know, I thought, you know, God, you sure about this? Are you really sure? That really wasn't the, you know, I was really looking for another answer. You know, I just don't want to settle for second best. I won't settle for second best. Do you? Teenager, do you want to settle for second best? You know what God wants me to do. You know, maybe you went to some preaching service some Sunday morning, some Sunday night, or Wednesday night, or some youth conference. You submitted your will. God, whatever you want me to do. The mission field, the pulpit, someone, whatever the case may be. God, I'll do it. I'll do it, God. I'll do it. Are you still in that mode, teenager? The hardest part of real prayer is learning to accept God's will in every matter. We have a tendency to want what we want when we want it. Let me just say that again. We have a tendency to want what we want when we want it. We're selfish. I remember as a kid, as a teenager, looking for my first vehicle. Of course, it's a truck. Amen? And it didn't wind up being a truck. But it was a little Ford Fiesta. Anybody remember them? Okay, little tin can, you know what I mean? You know, but you know, you get your first vehicle, you think it's the coolest thing in the world, you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about. Ford Fiesta, I laugh now, but I really want a truck. Remember when I was looking, got my license and so forth, and looking, and man, I saw a truck. Boy, it was a Ford, amen. It was a Ford, it was just what I thought I needed. I test drove it, sounded good. You know, the guy said, you know, so okay, if you want, I said, yeah, I want this thing. I have my dad look at it. Brought my dad. I thought, surely he's going to go ahead and want the desire of my heart. And he says, son, I think you better wait. But dad, look at the paint. Yeah. Says, you know, paint covers a whole lot of stuff. Yeah, okay. You know, the paint job may look good, but you just don't know what's underneath. Okay. But the motor looks clean. Yeah, it does look clean. He says, I think you ought to just wait a little. Not this truck. Reluctantly, I said, okay, Dad, I'll listen to you. I didn't want to submit. I didn't want to submit to that. I mean, I could have, I had the money, I could have bought that right then if I wanted to. But you know, I listened to my dad. You know what? Listen to me. I thank God that I did, because it wasn't long after that same truck was bought by some other sucker. And you know what? It was in a dooryard, literally. It was all apart. The hood was up and everything was all out of it. I mean, they had the carburetor, and I said, wow. I said, my dad, he's a smart man. Hey, guess what? We have a Heavenly Father that's very smart, too. He knows what's best. He knows what's best. Sometimes we don't understand things. I know. Why this? Why that? I understand. I understand how you're feeling. Been many times I thought, God, you want me? You know, I've surrendered my will, and why this? God, I've given you my will. I've served you. But why did cancer come into my home in 2006? Why did my wife have cancer? Why did this happen? Why, you know, you want me to go to Bible college? Why did I have some of the difficulties there? God, I don't understand. But Jesus, our perfect example. His prayer involves supplication, and it involves total surrender. And he submitted to God. It's not as I will. And he says, thy will be done. God, if I'm the man to do it, okay, God, you know what's best. If I'm the one that you want me to go through this, I don't understand it, but God, I'm going to trust you.
going to trust you through that health problem. I'm going to trust you through that valley. I'm going to trust you, whatever. And God, I promise you, when I'm in that valley, I'm going to learn something from it. You teach me something. God, I'm not going to squander that valley. I'm not going to squander. You got me there for a reason. I surrendered to you. Oh, my Father, and I'm in a valley. I'm in this tough time. God, I don't understand it, but God, you teach me something from it. God, you help me to, you give me the grace to get through it. You teach me something because there's going to be somebody that'll walk down that same path and go through the valley that's going to need me to help them through it because I've been there. I'm going to be able to teach them. If Jesus' prayer involved supplication, requesting, specific requests. Oh, my Father. Jesus' prayer involved total surrender and total submission. You may be going through it this morning. I don't know. You know, I don't. Some of you called me and you this week and told me some of your burdens and I prayed with you and helped you through it and different things. But the truth of the matter is a lot of that is a heap of you going through some things. I encourage you this morning, as Jesus did, trust God. Trust Him. Because He knows what's best. He knows the way that you take. He told that to Job. Job, you know, that wealthy man had everything and lost everything in a day. I don't understand this, God. But you know, later on in the book of Job, God says, and the Bible says, He knows the way that you take. And as a result, you will come forth as gold. And you know what Job did? Didn't understand why he lost everything, his family and everything. But you know what? At the end of the book of Job, he got back more. Much more. He trusted God. He understood that God was going to take care of him. And you may be here this morning. You don't understand some things. But I urge you, get on your face to God. Oh, my Father. Would you let this cup pass from me? This pressure, I'm under so much pressure, I feel like I'm going to die. But if it doesn't, it's not my will, but what thou wilt. Thy will be done. You trust in Him this morning. You've got a heavy burden this morning, don't you, church? Somebody. Hey, lady, you got a heavy burden. Hey, man, you've got a heavy burden. Hey, child, hey, teenager, you got a heavy burden. Maybe. You know what it is. Before you decide, hey, I'm going to bail out on God, can't bail out on His salvation, but I'm going to just say, I'm done. No, don't do that. Why don't you this morning, instead of being a macho Christian, I'm doing fine. I just come down and break down before a holy God. He says, oh, my Father. God, I can't take this anymore. I can't take this. But I know you can. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our Heavenly Father. We sure do love you, God. Simple message, I know, practical.